gentlemen, liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I'm back. Welcome, Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I hope you had a good Easter. I did. I hope you did. We'll get into some related news on the Easter front and whatnot here later. But we got a ton of news. I mean, having been gone, you know, I did the Good Friday show, and the Good Friday show is just the Good Friday show. And so I leave the politics out of it. There's so much stuff to catch up on, and we've got all the news of the day. My goodness. We got so much. I want to start with Rolling Stone, because there's an unrelated story to Rolling Stone that you need to understand here. The media is horrified by what happened with Rolling Stone. Now, for those of you who you've been at the beach like me for a week and tuned out, Rolling Stone last year published the University of Virginia rape story. A student claimed to have been violently raped at a fraternity at the University of Virginia, and a lot of her initial story details to rape counselors didn't add up. For example, she said she and all the guys were sober. One of them was her date to the event, and things like that typically don't happen. Typically, there's no date leading you to the party, baiting you, if you will. And they're not sober. They're drinking or drugs involved. And the story just didn't add up to more and more reporters. And the reaction from Rolling Stone and from Sabrina Erdley, the reporter, were to accuse anyone who doubted them of being rape apologists. Anyone on the right who called BS on the story in particular was accused of supporting rape. But it wasn't just people on the right. It was members of the mainstream media saying the story doesn't add up. They were accused of being rape apologists. The Washington Post began leaking details that undermined the entire story, and they were attacked by the left. How dare you? And then when it became clear that the story wasn't exactly as were reported, the complaint shifted that, well, it was the allegation that's important, and we can't attack or undermine the story because other women will refuse to come forward. Well, now after a review, it turns out that the story was made up. Turns out that the reporter, Sabrina Erdley, never interviewed people supposedly interviewed. That people who were interviewed said that what they said was misreported. The fraternity is probably going to sue Rolling Stone, and Rolling Stone's response was to issue an apology. The reporter Sabrina Erdley issued an apology. She did not apologize to the fraternity. She did not apologize to the young men accused of rape who were harassed, who saw the front of their fraternity house defaced, who saw a criminal investigation into them, who saw harassment, physical and otherwise. She didn't apologize to any of them, just apologized for getting details wrong. Rolling Stone apologized for getting details wrong. No one's losing their job. No one's being reprimanded. There is no penalty. And it's because, well, they told a story that needed to be told. They formed a narrative that needed to be narrated. Because campus rape is so serious, they needed to tell that story. And even though they got all the facts wrong, even though all the people say they were misquoted, it was an important contribution to journalism. So why are journalists outraged? I'll tell you after we check traffic with Doug Turnbull on 285. Happy Easter, Doug.
Hey, same to you, Eric. Happy post-Easter to you, and great Good Friday show as well. I really enjoyed it, man. It was awesome. Anyway, 513 WSB. Hope everybody else's Easter was great as well. If you're stuck on the South Side perimeter, you've probably already forgotten the good vibes. 285 West, the inner loop, it's jammed in from I-20 over to 675. The ramp to 675 South been shut down close to an hour exit number 52 there with an overturned vehicle at that location. You might want to use Moreland Avenue as an alternate to get down toward Highway 42, and then get you toward 675. On the north side, Interloop 285 eastbound, lighter than normal spring break conditions, slow Peachtree Industrial to Chamblee Tucker. Also westbound, Outerloop delays crossing 75 at Cobb, and southbound before South Cobb, down to I-20 on the west side. Starting to rain in the northwestern suburbs. Get those headlights on, Eric.
By the way, being gone last week, I would like to thank everybody who helped out while I was gone. Mark Arum, Adam Goldfein, Eric Von Hessler, and Alan Sanders. Thanks very much for filling in behind the microphone and getting me out of trouble, keeping me out of trouble while I was gone. Glad to be back. As always, you can go to ericontheradio.com, and I will, as you notice, with the legislative session being gone now, the emails have returned to normal, and you'll start getting show notes again now that I'm back behind the microphone. Before I tell you why the journalists are outraged, you need to know I'm looking at the radar right now. You actually do need to know this. There is some bad, heavy rain headed our way. It has just begun to penetrate the Bremen-Villarica area. There are some showers in the Conyers-Covington area moving due north. But up on the north side of the city, up 75, north of Cartersville, the rain has begun. It's coming over from Alabama. It's pretty heavy. It'll be in Acworth and Kennesaw in the next 15 minutes. You need to keep your lights on. It'll be in Canton here within the next 10 minutes. Just be prepared, folks. It is some heavy, heavy rain. Dallas, it's coming towards you as well. Now, the reason journalists are outraged, the reason journalists are horrified by the Rolling Stone story, is because they've been exposed as hacks. You see, they're not upset that no one lost their job at Rolling Stone. In fact, the Washington Post, when the fraternity first threatened to sue, the Washington Post tried to advise against, oh, don't sue our friends in the media. We'll expose things about you. I mean, that was Washington Post reporting. They're upset because of how Rolling Stone apologized, that no one's losing their job and we're not doing anything different because this story was powerful and important and needed to be told. Well, the whole thing was made up. And journalists are upset they're being exposed for the hacks that they are universally. I mean, take some of the fights this legislative season here in Georgia. Take the religious liberty legislation here in Georgia. The level of hackery from members of the press who didn't care to explain what the law actually did. Hell, probably they never even read it. Or what happened in Indiana or what happened in Arkansas. They are agenda-driven liberals. Members of the mainstream media tend to be agenda-driven liberals. They don't care about the truth. They care about the story. And the Rolling Stone story hurts their cause. It hurts their cause because it exposes to a great many Americans who tend to presume the best in others that, in fact, the band of journalists in America are left-wing activists who are not reporting facts, but are making up and telling stories to advance an agenda. There's some woman at the New Republic, the left-wing rag, Elizabeth Bruning or something. She claims to be some sort of left-wing Christian who's a better Christian than the Pope. And she wrote a story today saying what Sabrina Erdley got wrong wasn't the facts. It's that she engaged in right-wing antics. That's right. So yes, exactly. Sabrina Erdley, she engaged as a conservative would engage. She just essentially made up the facts or whatnot. And that's what the right does. And you can't stoop to conservatives' level. That's actually her column in the New Republic is Sabrina Erdley, the only thing she did wrong was she behaved like a conservative. Really. That's actually what she said. See, they're upset. They are upset because they call themselves reporters, and people presume that reporters just report the facts. But what they're seeing more and more, whether it's local reporters here in Georgia dealing with religious liberty, whether it's national reporters telling a terrible story that was not true at the University of Virginia, you name it, telling a tax story. Reporters are not reporting facts. They're taking press releases from friends and turning them into stories and pushing a narrative. It is agenda-driven reporting these days. There are very few places where you will go in America anymore and find a actual facts on a story, where you will find actual pros and cons. You see, everyone has a presupposition. When you come to my radio show, you know it's me, and you know my worldview. I do that entire night called The Good Friday Show, where I discuss with you my worldview. You don't get that from your reporter at your local paper. You don't get that from your reporter on TV or the anchor on TV. You don't get that level of candor. But you can be sure that just as I am a person with presuppositions and biases and a worldview, they are too. And everything they do goes towards building their worldview, which in most cases tends to be an activist left-wing worldview. The media is upset because Rolling Stone told a story and it was all BS. But they're not upset that Rolling Stone told a BS story because they support the narrative. They believe it's true. They believe college rape is a serious, horrible, awful thing and worse than anyone is willing to report. So hallelujah, Rolling Stone shed light on it. All they're upset about is Rolling Stone got caught making it up. They too would be perfectly happy to make it up. You could see that in how they reported on RFRA here in Georgia, Indiana, and Arkansas. As long as they don't get caught, they're okay.
Get home well-informed. Atlanta's Evening News. Every day. Every day. Doug Turnbull in the Skycopter. Chris Chandler in WSB News. And Eric Erickson's Insider Analysis on News 95.5.
I got to read you something. Okay, this is from Brittany Cooper, who's writing at Salon, the parody left-wing site. Okay, the title of the post is "The Right's Made Up God, How Bigots Invented a White Supremacist Jesus." I'm just going to skip down to the very last paragraph, and I'm going to read you the second sentence. We need to reclaim the narrative of Jesus' life and death from the evangelical right. What is the narrative of Jesus' death? Well, let me read you this. We refuse to pretend as though the main story of Jesus' resurrection was that he died for our sins. We refuse to pretend as though the main story of Jesus' resurrection was that he died for our sins. This person, you will not be surprised to learn, is a women and gender studies professor. We'll be back. I'm continuing to look at the radar. Rain is now in the Cartersville, Canton area. Drizzle between Acworth and Kennesaw. Heavy rain coming into Dallas, Villarica. Rome is getting pounded. Bremen's about to see some heavy showers. Just a lot of rain out there. I'm doing my job keeping you guys safe. It is 5:39. The phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and you're listening to Eric Erickson right here on WSB. Governor Nathan Deal is signaling that he may involve himself directly in the religious liberty fight next year. I'm interested to see how this goes. Look, I disagree with the governor on some things. I continue to like him and his staff. I think they're good people. I do think that they helped sabotage this last go around because they got scared. They got scared of what was happening in Indiana and Arkansas, and they know the media here in Georgia is deeply hostile. I mean, you had Jay Bookman from the AJC tweet to me that the pizza place, Memories Pizza, that it got shut down because of the free market. Now, for those of you who don't know, Memories Pizza was the local pizza place up in Indiana, and it had to close its doors because of death threats to its employees and owners and a threat to be burned to the ground because they said that they would serve gay people. But they didn't want to cater a gay wedding. Now, you know, you can disagree with with someone saying they don't want to bake a cake or provide flowers or photography for a wedding because they're religious beliefs. But is that really the same as let's kill the people and burn their business down? Jay Bookman said that that was free enterprise. Now, later he said, oh, I didn't know anybody said that. So, in other words, he was just mouthing off without knowing the details. Liberal media textbook case here. So the governor wants to involve himself in the religious liberty legislation. Here's, let me tell you what I would like a law to say. Governor's office, if you're listening, I know you are. Let's have a law, and it says three things. One, your a for-profit business cannot discriminate in the service or providing of goods to any class of people, be it race, religious, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation. No business can say no gays allowed if they're a for-profit business. But then let's add a second one. And let's let it say, but that business may decline to provide goods or services for any activity or event that offends the conscience of the proprietor. So you can't just say no gays allowed or no Muslims allowed or no Jews allowed or no Christians allowed or no women allowed. But you would be able to say, hey, I don't want to print the T-shirt for the Westboro Baptist Church. Or hey, I'm black. I don't want to make the cake for the Klan rally. Or you'd be able to say, I don't want to bake the cake for the gay marriage. This is live and let live legislation. You can't say class of people you're not allowed here, be they black, white, straight, gay, Christian, Muslim, male, female. But you can say for this activity or this event, I'm going to decline to participate because of my conscience. And then number three, don't apply it to publicly traded companies. So the major corporations, it wouldn't apply to them, but the mom and pop shop, yeah. Allow the mom and pop shop, not publicly traded on Wall Street, to keep their freedom of conscience. Why not? I mean, we all say all the time, let's just live and let live. Go find yourself another baker. Go find yourself another T-shirt printer. Go find yourself someone else to do this. Live and let live. I'm not going to force myself on you. You don't force yourself on me. Why not? This seems to be perfect legislation. Live and let live. It's a shame that we've got to legislate it, but why not? Just make it a law. You can't discriminate against any class of people. But you can decline to provide goods and services for activities and events that offend your conscience. That seems to me to be what we're getting. That seems to me to be what makes sense. I don't think that a gay baker should be compelled to provide a cake, a T-shirt, or a sign for the Westboro Baptist Church. I don't. You may differ, but I don't think so. I don't think a black businessman should be forced to provide goods and services to the KKK. And I don't think a Christian should be forced to provide goods or services to a wedding that offends their religious beliefs. I don't. Live and let live. Go find someone else. An American principle, but people are so interested in being offended these days, they can't live by that principle, and they should. We should be willing to live and let live. We should also be willing to get home today. Doug Turnbull, are people going to be able to? The rain's moving in.
You shouldn't be forced to sit on 285 right now either. Get those headlights on if it's getting close to raining in your area. 544 WSB, big jam Southside perimeter. We've dealt with this hour and a half. 285 West, the interloop, it's jammed in from I-20 to where that ramp, 285 West to 675 South, exit 52 is shut down there on the Southside interloop. A bad crash happened there. On the north side perimeter, 285 East and South, just sluggish in spots. Petrie Industrial around toward Highway 78, some outer loop backups, 285 West, before and after I-75 and Cobb, and southbound at spots down to I-20 on the west side. Also a slow zone, 285 eastbound to the right lanes between Flat Shoals and I-20 into DeKalb County. Eric?
You know, I just got an email from a friend of mine who says that her hairstylist didn't want to fix her hair anymore because he was gay and she didn't support gay marriage. God bless him. It's his right. Why should he be made to fix the hair of someone who he disagrees with? Why should she be forced to go to him to fix her hair if she disagrees with him? Live and let live. Seems like that would make a lot of sense. Just live and let live. If you don't, if you disagree, you don't have to provide the goods and services. I mean, honestly, do you really want to go to someone who disagrees with you and force them to bake your cake anyway? I mean, and then you're going to sue and say, well, they didn't make the cake good enough. Really? Maybe it was psychosomatic. Maybe you just think it tasted like horse manure.
You should see the contacts in Eric Erickson's cell phone. He's highly connected and quietly influential. And he's with you every day, 5 till 7.
Welcome back. Rain moving into the area. I will keep you posted as it moves further into the metro area. Right now, I've been gone for a week. I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys. So let's take some phone calls. Let's go first to Jeremy calling from Atlanta. Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show. How are you?
Hey, Eric, I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, I was wondering, here in a free enterprise system, yes?
Yes.
When did the rights of the business owners get taken away?
Oh, you see,
it reserve the right to refuse service to anybody for any reason.
Well, Jeremy, the government has been incrementally encroaching on the rights of businesses to run their business as they see fit as well. But you know, the most interesting thing, I get this from a lot of liberals who call in, who say that once you get a business license, you are prohibited from engaging in business as you see fit. I mean, they literally believe this, that once the state gives you permission to operate your business, you can no longer operate it according to your conscience. Only what the customers want can rule.
Well, that just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, look, the left doesn't really care. This is really about imposing their religious views on us as opposed to protecting others from having their religious views encroached on by the state. Rich in Miami, you're up next. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. I have a bunch of friends that are attorneys, and one over the weekend was like, oh, what I wouldn't give to be on one of these cases to represent a business. I'm like, you represent one of the businesses? And he goes, oh, no, the plaintiff. That would violate my moral conscience. I could never do that. Those people are reprehensible. I'm like, and yet it's a bunch of attorneys that are fighting over how the wording on all these laws. It's utter silliness.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, the thing is that the media, I mean, we saw this in the coverage about RFRA. The majority of the reporting locally and nationally on the religious freedom laws were wrong. I mean, there is nothing in the laws that enables anyone to discriminate. And in fact, the laws have been around for more than 20 years and they've never been used to shield someone from discrimination. In fact, in New Mexico, the Supreme Court there specifically ruled that RFRA didn't apply. But you never heard that in the reporting. You never heard that in the conversations. All right. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I hadn't talked to you guys in a week. So for the next hour, I got a few things I want to talk about, but I'm going to let the phone calls guide the show. So the phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we will go wherever the conversations go. I'll start with Steve in Gainesville when we come back about the transportation bill and get into that. There is data on this, the maintenance. What new projects may come out of it, if any? Probably none is your short answer. But I will let the phone call steer the conversation when we come back. 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's Eric Erickson, and I'm back here on WSB. Good evening. Welcome. Eric Erickson here. Yes, I am back from the beach. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I am trying to make 2 hours without painkillers. I cracked my heel. I wish I had an exciting story. I walked on cobblestone and apparently had some bit of my heel that didn't like it. And I got a orthopedic visit on with a surgeon on Wednesday to figure it out. So I am accident prone. I'm telling you, the insurance rates at Cox Media Group are going up largely because of me this year. Rain is moving into the area. It is on I-20 now, west of Villarica, headed towards the city. Heavy band of showers in that area and coming in. Get your lights on if they're not already, with the sun going down to begin with. I'm going to let you guys steer the show this hour. With your phone calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Going to start with Steve calling from Gainesville. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm not completely educated on this, but I wanted to know how versed you are, and if so, if you have an opinion on the transportation bill that I understand our legislators just passed for the state of Georgia.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, Steve, the way they got it passed, and it hasn't really been talked about much other than here, the way that they got it passed, they didn't have the votes of Republicans to get the transportation bill passed. So what they did is they told Democratic members of the legislature they would refrain from passing the religious liberty bill in exchange for Democratic votes to raise taxes for transportation. That's how they got it passed. It was a vote swap. They held the religious liberty legislation hostage for Democratic votes, and they got them. Conservatives would not go along with the legislation. Now, it is a tax increase. It is about $1 billion. Not quite that high. They trimmed it back a little bit, but roughly $1 billion. Well, there is go ahead.
I'm sorry. From a family-run trucking company that's been in business 30 years, I don't claim to know the details. That's why I'm calling you. But my dad, my partner for 30 years, does or believes he does. And as far as the excise tax that's going to be placed on trucking companies, as far as the big trucks, and the additional $100 fee, if I'm saying that correctly, per truck, it's making us, my understanding is the 48th worst state to run a trucking company out of Barack Obama's 52 or our 50.
Yeah, his 57. Get it right now, Steve. There are 57 states. Yeah, my understanding is that the excise tax on big trucks actually does hurt, and there was a lobby effort against it, but the Chamber of Commerce could care less about the big truckers. They're much more interested in the big box stores, and they're all for it. And the reason they're for it is because we do have a deficit in the state when it comes to funding transportation. We are behind a lot of other states. Now, the actual conversion to the excise tax from the sales tax makes a ton of sense. The reason being is Georgia is one of the very few states that had mostly a sales tax. We had about 4 cents of an excise tax, everything else a sales tax. So when gas prices go up, the revenue goes up. When gas prices go down, the revenue goes down. An excise tax is static. It is X number of cents per gallon of gas sold, and as opposed to a percentage. So you're not going to have the variation that you had in the past. It'll allow for more precise planning, and that is a very good thing. The problem is the rate of increase. We still need more money to do new projects in the state, if we're honest about it. But a lot of people are going to get caught and not be happy about the amount of money they're going to start paying at the gas pump when gas prices start going back up. It's $1 billion tax increase. They can't run from that. The question is whether or not they need it. And, you know, to be honest with you, there are a lot of projects in Georgia on hold because we don't have the money to do them. The question is just, did we need this big of a tax increase? Speaking of projects on hold, some of them on 285 to make your commute smoother are on the wayside waiting. Doug Turnbull?
Yeah, like adding 6 lanes to all parts of 285. That one's on in the pipe right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a big old tunnel underneath Atlanta.
There you go. There you go. That'd be a good place for the zombie apocalypse. 614 WSB. And let's give you some good news on that perimeter, though. 285 westbound, the Interloop ramp to 675 south, which is blocked for a solid 2 hours with a nasty crash in DeKalb, has reopened. Unfortunately, delay is still there, 285 west, leaving I-20 there in DeKalb County. The north side Interloop is almost clear, just some right lane delays, 285 east ramping to 85 north. Most of the outer loop backups are gone, 285 west and south between Sandy Springs and I-20 on the west side. There is an injury crash downtown. The one we last saw on the WSB jam cam had 2 right lanes blocked. That's causing backups. Connector south down to William Street, Eric.
Fun times. All right, back to the phones. Brett in Mansfield, you're next. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Eric. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Doing quite well. I am a junior at Georgia State University, but see, I make that commute up I-20 west every day. And, you know, I've always considered myself a very, very strong conservative. And even with Georgia State being a massively liberal school, hasn't really changed my perspective on anything. And in fact, it's kind of strengthened it. But let me ask you this question, because, you know, I want to know where you stand on it. I think that it is past time to legalize cannabis across the board, regardless. I know the governor said he's not going to allow Georgia to become like Colorado, but is it not common sense to you? Because to me, it looks like it's just common sense at this point. I mean, am I wrong or am I right?
I think that a lot of people, particularly in your age group, favor the legalization of cannabis. I think, though, that many of the states that were thinking of doing it are now hesitant because of Colorado and Washington State. Even the governor of Colorado that supported legalization of cannabis out there now thinks it was a mistake to have done it, or to have done it as rapidly as he did do it.
Right.
My personal opinion is that it is somewhat experimental, and we should let Washington State and Colorado play out a couple more years and see. And if all the bad things that all the people have always said would happen don't happen in those states, then do it.
Right. If, well, you know, I did, and I figure it's just a good question, because, you know, especially with Senator Paul supposed to, you know, announce tomorrow, you know, and I'm not decided on that race at all, but, you know, with him being somebody that may potentially be a advocate or you know, especially with this bill that they just introduced in the Senate, I think that it is a relevant issue, and I feel like if we're going to call ourselves conservative and lovers of liberty, then I feel like it's time to actually own that title.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. I think there's a difference between conservative and libertarian, and more a lot of libertarians have been hijacked by a libertine wing, where if it feels good, do it, and otherwise, who cares about government intrusion? In fact, I think the religious liberty fight has been very telling. A lot of libertarians throwing in the towel, going with government coercion to make people bake cakes for weddings. On the marijuana front, look, I am very conflicted on it, and I tend to think that marijuana is downplayed, the negative effects are downplayed by a lot of advocates. The addictiveness of it is downplayed by a lot of people who all have an agenda towards legalization. But that said, I am willing to change my mind in this regard. If Colorado and Washington play out for a few more years, and all the bad things that people for years have been saying would happen don't happen, then expand it. I do think it should be a vote of the people, though. And I'm perfectly happy to have a referendum in the state of Georgia. Interestingly enough, in Florida, they killed it. They killed the expansion in Florida. So let's see Colorado and Washington State play out. And if nothing else, if Georgia doesn't legalize it, then folks who want to light up can go to Colorado and Washington. Colorado is a beautiful state, by the way. Sherry in Atlanta, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. I just had the question that the people who came to the bakery and the pizza place and couldn't get their wedding cake and their wedding covered in pizza, were they regular customers of the bakery and the pizza?
Set
them up.
See, Sherry, here's the dirty little secret about that story. And again, this goes to biases in the local media that didn't want to report it and the national media that didn't want to report it. The pizza restaurant said they've never, ever been asked to cater a wedding, gay or straight. They've never been asked to cater. And what they then said was that they don't care who comes to their pizza restaurant. They couldn't identify a gay person unless a gay person told them they were gay. Anyone is welcome to eat there. But what they then said was that they are Christians, and they would not like to provide pizza for a gay wedding because they believe marriage is between a man and a woman, even though no one has ever asked them to one way or the other.
Yeah. But were these people regular customers to begin
with? Oh, it was a reporter who asked them. It wasn't a regular customer who asked. It was a reporter. But, you know, take Baronelle Stutzman out in Oregon, who owns Arlette's Flower Shop. Now, she had regular customers. They had been her customers for 10 years, had done more than $10,000 in business over 10 years with her flower shop. And they came in and asked her if she would make provide flowers for their wedding. And according to her and them, she welled up with tears and told them she was very sorry, but she was a Christian and didn't think she could do that. But she would love to help them find someone else who could. And they sued her. They've taken her house. They've taken her business. And now they're taking her 401k.
Huh. Well, just to show you, it takes all kinds, I guess.
I guess so. You know, so much for living and letting live. I mean, I thought that was the whole American thing, is live and let live. You don't want this flower shop. This flower shop doesn't want to work for you. There are plenty of other flower shops. Go to 1-800-Flowers. But no, they decided they needed to destroy her for telling them that she was a Christian and couldn't do it.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Triple team traffic every 6 minutes. And Eric Erickson.
This is Atlanta's Evening News on WSB.
Welcome, Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. So I'm learning as well from this Salon article by the woman and gender studies professor that Jesus was also, in her words, queer. Yes, and he didn't die for our sins. Apparently, he also dressed fabulously, according to her. So, all righty, let's go to Moses in Atlanta. You're next. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Eric?
Good, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I just have a question for you regarding what you said as far as the two parts of the law should have been. The first part, my question is, what about they walk into the restaurant and you cannot refuse the service, but meanwhile, let's say they start hugging each other or kissing each other, that they defend you and your belief, then what?
Wait, so you have two people of the same sex go into a restaurant and are kissing each other?
Yeah. I'm a business owner. One of my businesses, for example, is a limousine service, and I experienced that.
Well, you know, listen, you've got the right to control your conduct, to control conduct of patrons in your store. I mean, it's like no shirts, no shoes, no service, no kissing, no tongues. You could put that on the sign. But the pizza owner in Indiana said they would be perfectly happy to make pizza for a gay couple who came in. They weren't judging them kissing or their love. They just didn't want to participate in a wedding. We'll be back. Welcome back. Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Hillary Clinton. Oh, wait. I see this from Russell Moore. Hillary Clinton has just hired Karen Finney, who was an MSNBC host, came out very strongly against religious freedom this week. We know where the Clintons are going to go. Never mind, her husband signed the law. Let's go back to the phone, shall we? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I've missed you guys. Let's go to Leslie in Villarica. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Eric. Listen, two things. Number one, you misspoke on RFRA, and if you think back, you'll know. You said they chickened out because of the fallout of Indiana, but if you remember back, they were suppressing that in Willard's committee. And Ralston was pushing it down, and the governor was completely silent before Indiana ever had their fallout.
Yes. And Leslie, you might have missed the part where I said that was what they were hiding behind. It was really they traded votes with the Democrats to get the transportation bill.
Right. Well, RFRA. Well, I talk about RFRA, but then on the transportation, right. Anyway, on transportation, then, you know, doing the conversion was great, but they insisted on raising our taxes, did they not?
They did.
Make sure you see some of the video of what went down in the Senate the last hours. Mm-hmm. I was there the last two in the gallery when Cagle decided he'd break whatever rules he needed to pass, well, several things, but then a tax break for Mercedes-Benz employees, but they have to raise our taxes.
Right. Yeah, so Delta's going to get a tax break. Mercedes is going to get a tax break. But the rest of us will pay the taxes they don't pay. You know, I think this is going to come back and haunt them at the ballot box. And the reason I say this, Leslie, is it has gone unnoticed by many that in the waning hours of the legislature, David Ralston in the House Rules Committee tried to pass a law. And that law would have said that if anyone even mentions an elected official, uses their image, or mentions a ballot proposal within 180 days of an election, they would have to register with the state. Exactly. It is. I can't say what you just said, but yes, it is. It is completely that. Not only that, but if you use the words vote for, vote against, oppose, within 30 days of an election, you would have to register and disclose all your donors. Yes. So this was going after this that Ralston is pushing. He's going to push it again next year. It was designed to target churches who do voter education and are upset that the religious liberty legislation died. And it was also designed to attack Tea Party groups and outside groups who are pointing out these legislators voted to raise taxes. And so they can't win on these issues. So they want to shut down the other side. They want to silence the debate. They want to silence the critics. They want to hound them through the State Ethics Commission, making them disclose people who fund them. Think about this. Churches. A church wants you to know that David Ralston opposed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Under the law, that's legal because it is voter education. And a nonprofit, even a church, can let you know how someone voted on a bill or whether or not they supported or opposed it. David Ralston opposed the religious liberty legislation. So David Ralston's response was not to then support religious liberty. It was to tell churches and others through this legislation that if you dare point out he opposed it, he wants you to register with the state. That was the response from Republicans. Luckily, it didn't actually go to the governor. It got killed again in the Senate, got stripped of that. Yeah, the Senate came to its senses on this. This is going to be a campaign issue. They did vote for a massive tax increase. They really did. Brenda and Lilburn, you're up next. Welcome to the program.
Eric, it is wonderful to talk to you again, and I just want to thank you again, BTW, for the wonderful program you did Friday for Good Friday.
Thanks very much.
I wanted to bring up the lady out in Washington, Oregon. Wherever,
Oregon.
That you talked about that lost her business, lost her house, and you said now she's losing her 401.
Yes.
Has any type of a GoFundMe thing been set up to help this woman, as it was done last week to help this family that has the little pizza place in Indiana?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Brenda, yes. Dana Lash, who's on overnight here on WSB, set up the one for the pizza place in Indiana. She also set up one for Bernal Stutzman, was able to raise, I can't remember the exact total, but it was pretty sizable to help Bernal Stutzman and also her lawyers continue to fight. And Stutzman herself has decided to continue the fight in this case, and they think she may have a winnable case there. I hope so. Need to be in prayer for her.
I hope so as well, because the thing that I believe at this point is that those of us that are believers need to come together to support these people that end up in these situations.
Oh, I completely agree.
I feel very strongly about that we have got to stand up with them and even support them financially.
Yeah, amen to that, Brenda. I totally agree with you. I've got some thoughts on that, but before I get to them, let me get to Doug Turnbull, you're downtown now?
I am, yeah. Fortunately, 285 has been cleared up, so we moved to the connector where we've had a couple of trouble spots here, Eric, at 643 on WSB, and we had a crash off to the right for a while, 7585 south of William Street. At one point, you're jammed for the 85-400 merge, but because volume is lighter than normal now, you're only slow coming down from 17th Street. Reports of earlier trouble connector south at I-20. Folks in the traffic center couldn't find that on the WSB jam cams. The northbound delay is 7585 getting through the Grady Hospital curve. A crash report at Boulevard at Freedom Parkway. And on the south side, no big backups at all anymore. 75, 675, or 85 south below the airport. Trouble off to the right, though. 85 southbound, Riverdale Road at the airport. Eric?
All right. I want to say something on what Brenda was just talking about, Chris, and standing together. Because I hear from a lot of you, and you're seeing how this played out in Georgia, of all places. The hostility of members, Republican members of our legislature, to people of faith. I mean, the governor's office, they wouldn't even meet with pastors who had supported him in a campaign. They closed the door. They were sitting there. I sent out the picture. They wouldn't meet with them. Wouldn't even send staffers to meet with them. And a lot of you are thinking, how can it happen here? This is the main reason so many of us have been pushing RFRA, because we know what's going to happen here. But there's something bigger here. There is a tendency among people who are invested in a cause, when it goes against them, they want to build a wall around their home and shut themselves in. They want to withdraw from society. They want to hide. They want to pull their children out of popular culture. They want to pull their children out of school and homeschool. There's nothing wrong with homeschooling. But there is a tendency for people to want to withdraw, and it's happening now to a lot of people of faith who just, they want to get out of it. They want to turn off, tune out, fall off the grid. And they can't. I know there are ministers who listen to this program, and I hope you will take this to heart. A lot of ministers have done a very bad job of educating their congregation. Sure, you preach a good sermon on Sunday. But why are the books of the Bible the books of the Bible? Why does the Bible set up marriages between a man and a woman? It doesn't really. What about the early church and the martyrs of the church? I know some people say, well, that's too Catholic. That's what the Catholics do. I think it would help people to know the history of Polycarp. Polycarp, one of the early martyrs of the church, he would not burn incense to the emperor. He essentially wouldn't bake a cake for the emperor. And so he himself was baked alive at the stake. I think knowing the church history would be important. But more importantly, building communities of believers. There are a lot of people, I've got a lot of friends, who they go to church on Sunday and that's when they're Christian. And the rest of the week, they're soccer mom, they're baseball dad, they're football mom, they're going to work dad, their kids are school. They don't contact, they don't have outreach with, they don't have support within their church. They go to church on Sunday, they see people, but otherwise they don't have outlets with the people in their church. They are going to need to build communities of faith outside of Bible study. They're going to need to build communities of faith outside of church on Sunday. They're going to need to build communities of believers to support each other.
Eric Erickson is highly connected and quietly influential.
And he is quietly advising that you set the first button on your car radio.
For 95.5 FM.
The Eric button.
The Doug Turnbull traffic button.
And the 24-hour
news button.
WSB.
Welcome back. Eric Erickson here. Let's go to Arthur in Lawrenceville. Welcome to the program, Arthur. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And yourself?
Good.
Good. Look, earlier you mentioned that a black man should have the right to refuse service to the KKK.
Yes.
However, you did not say the KKK or members of the KKK who have a business should have the right to refuse service to the black population. My problem is that it's a slippery slope when you talk about the refusal of right of service. There are people who still remember when segregation or when restaurants refused service to the minority populations. And I'm not just speaking about blacks, I'm speaking about minority populations within this country. And again, I believe it's a slippery slope. How do you address that?
Well, I think it's a slippery slope only if you slide down. And as I said the other day and wrote at Red State, you don't need a rainbow sticker on the back of your car to tell someone you're black. And I think that in this country, in the Constitution itself, under the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment and the 13th Amendment, we have largely taken race, I think, out of bounds of other things. We know, for example, from the Supreme Court that race and ethnicity are treated differently from gender when it comes to discrimination claims. So I don't think that anyone should be prohibited from doing business with anyone else based on the color of their skin or, frankly, their sexual orientation. But I do think that someone, because of religious conviction, should be able to say, I'm not going to bake the cake for the wedding and I'm not going to print up the posters for the KKK because it offends my conscience. Go somewhere else. We'll be back tomorrow.